Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems Q2 calendar year 2015 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Chopra.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, I welcome all participants to the R Systems second quarter 2015 earnings conference call. Today from the management, we have with us Mr. Reki Singh, Managing Director, Lieutenant General Baldev Singh, retired and President and Senior Executive Director, Mr. Avirag Jain, he's the EVP and CTO, Mr. Nand Sardana, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kumar Gaurav, who's the General Manager Finance. Now, I would like to invite Mr. Gaurav to announce the disclaimer statement and take the call forward. Over to you, Mr. Kumar.
Thanks, Ashish. Good morning. Thanks for attending our Systems Investor Call to discuss Quarter 2 2015 results. I am going to first read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. The investors are cautioned that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statement. These statements may undergo revision because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such statements. With this, I am handing over to Mr. Reki for his opening comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being a part of this investor call for the second quarter of 2015. First of all, I would like to give a brief overview of our systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us in this conference for the first time. Our systems is a software engineering company established in 1993 in California and is now spread across three continents with 14 software development and service centers worldwide. Over the past two decades, we have emerged as a strong value creator in the software industry in several domains. The value we help create is comparable to the oyster delivering the pearl. The oyster-pearl metaphor lies at the heart of all that we do for our stakeholders and is reflected in our tagline, caring, innovating, and transforming. It is this value-centric philosophy that helps us win new customers across the world, and we have an excellent team working with us. During quarter two, we have reported revenue of rupees 165 crores, a quarter-on-quarter growth of about 10%, and EBITDA of 24 crores, a quarter-on-quarter growth of about 50%. The net profit is rupees 14 crores with a quarter-on-quarter growth of 75%. Volume growth coupled with depreciation of rupee has led to improved margins. Telecom and digital media continues to be our largest industry vertical with approximately 29% share of our revenues. We serve 17 customers contributing $1 million plus revenues. We added seven key clients over this quarter. Acquisition of IBIS in the last quarter has strengthened our ERP practice in Southeast Asia. We are now working in integrating IBIS with the rest of our systems as well as pursuing cross-selling opportunities. In this quarter, the company completed the sale of the Indus product business that will enable us to focus on our core servicing business. Further, the board has approved a strategic business acquisition for a prepaid billing business consisting of two customers and intellectual properties from a leading European telecom company. This acquisition will deepen our customer engagement along with strengthening our telecom practice. Considering the overall performance and our cash reserves, the board has recommended a special interim dividend of Rs. 3.3 per share. I will now hand over to Nand, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Reki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of Q2 2015. I'll first give my comments on the financial performance, which will be followed up by Avirat's comment on the operation and then finance summing up by Mr. Reki and then Q&A session. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was Rs. 165.45 crores or $26.10 million. Quarter-on-quarter increase of 9.73% and year-on-year increase of 2.98%. The factor that led to 9.73% quarter-on-quarter increase were EBITDA acquisition 4.85%, volume increase 2.13%, and depreciation of rupee 1.94%. The factor that led to year-on-year increase of 2.98% is EBITDA acquisition 4.45%, volume increase 3.02%, and depreciation of rupee 1.62%. This is offset by decrease due to sale of Europe BPO business, which was in November 2014, 7.93%. Contribution by top 10 customers approximate 29.5%. This has been reduced from 33% last quarter. The key reason is termination of agreement by an outside BPO customer. But it is important to mention that we added 7 key wins during the quarter. Getting down to gross margin, it was 36% in Q2 2015 compared to 34.06% last quarter, an improvement of 1.94%. The main reason for the increase in gross margin was impact of higher number of billing days, 1.06%, impact of depreciation of rupee 32 basis points, and decline in COGS and other expenses 56 basis points. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter on quarter by meager 5 lakh rupees. It was 35.75 crore in Q2 compared to 35.70 crore last quarter. The increase is mainly due to inclusion of EBIT business as offset by H1 visa filing fee, which was recorded in quarter one. EBITDA in Q2 was 23.81 crore or $3.77 million compared to 15.65 crore or $2.51 million last quarter, and 22.43 crore or $3.74 million same quarter last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 14.39% this quarter compared to 10.38% last quarter and 13.96% same quarter last year. Improvement in EBITDA was resulted of higher billing days, volume increase, and depreciation of rupee. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 3.45 crores compared to 4.459 crores last quarter and rupees 2.84 crores in same quarter last year. Depreciation in the current quarter is less compared to last quarter due to one-time impact of change in depreciation policy in last quarter due to adoption of Schedule 2 of the Companies Act, which has become applicable to us from 1st Jan 2015. Interest expenses rupees 2.70 lakh this quarter compared to 2.20 lakhs last quarter. Other income this quarter was positive 1.96 crore compared to 2 crore last quarter. Other income this quarter mainly consists of interest income of 1.12 crores and exchange gain of rupees 75 lakh. As at June 30th, we have total forward cover of $14.75 million with average rate of 66.69 and euro cover of 1.05 million with average rate of 77.42. These have already been marked to market at closing date of 30th June. Our tax expense was rupees 7.96 crore in Q2 as against 4.84 crore last quarter. Effective tax is in the range of 35% as most of our business are subject to marginal tax rate after expiry of tax benefits and carryover losses. Net profit after tax was rupees 14.35 crore or $2.27 million compared to rupees 8.20 crore or $1.32 million last quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is rupees 1.13 per share compared to rupees 64 paisa last quarter. A board of directors of the company has proposed a special interim dividend of rupees 3.30 per share. Getting down to asset side in the balance sheet, total receivable at the end of June 30th were rupees 108.13 crores compared to rupees 111.08 crores at the end of last quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 43 days as at June 15th and 59 days as at the end of March 15. The DSO as at June 15 is benefited by certain advances received from customers against fixed bid and maintenance contract and will get normalized over a period of time. Cash and bank balances were Rs. 116.77 crore compared to Rs. 107.24 crore at the end of March 15. We have been able to maintain our cash reserve despite the payment of dividend, taxes, and capex through cash generated from operations. Our system shareholder fund was Rs. 171.33 crore at the end of June 15 compared to Rs. 206.15 crore at the end of March 15. With that, let me hand over to Avirag for review of operations.
Thank you, Nanji. And good morning, everyone, and thanks for being on the call. So I will give a brief flavor of our global operation and the customers that we are engaged with. As Mr. Reki already mentioned, that we continue to focus, you know, on our select key verticals that include telecom, banking, healthcare, manufacturing, and logistics, as well as U.S. state government. And with EBIS addition, our focus, you know, is further strengthened on ERP business. So we are building further our strength in mobility and analytics, as these two are, you know, arrowhead technology in the industry. So we are building our, you know, skills and strength on these two areas and seeing that as a future potential. And there are a lot of, you know, opportunity in these areas. In this quarter, we have added 7 new clients, and most of them are showing good potential. And four of them are actually in the OPD space. One of them is a US-based leading, you know, organization who is providing professional learning and certification support for healthcare professionals, and that helps the hospital staff to perform better. So that is a long-term engagement, and we see good value in this. Second client is a leading automobile manufacturer in US, and we are building a test suite for them which will test the car while it is in garage or on the go, and this is one of the very innovative products that we are building for them that will help them to, you know, test their vehicle faster. Another one is for computer, is our telecom, you know, arm based out of Europe, where they got a new contract for helping the telecom provider in the roaming services. So they can effectively, their providers can effectively offer the roaming services. And there are one from Singapore, which for IBIS, which is a, you know, implementing Microsoft Dynamic ERP system. And another one is for ECNet, where they are implementing the another ERP, which is Infor ERP. So all of our business are doing good and adding good clients. In terms of our headcount, we have added 126 consultants this quarter, and majority is from IBIS. Almost 60 people are added because of IBIS acquisition. And rest is from different RNet. Business is growing, so we have added, you know, in every unit we have added certain numbers. Our utilization right now is around 74%, and we continue to maintain at the same level. By geography, US contributes 51% in this quarter, Europe about 16%. Southeast Asia has grown 17% because of IBIS acquisition, and rest of the world is about 15%. Client concentration, top 10 clients contribute 29.5%. And this is, actually there is a decline because of we have lost a customer that was reported last quarter in BPO in US. And I think that's all from my side. And with this brief, I'll hand over to Mr. Reki for his closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Avirag. Summing up, I will kind of repeat what Nand and Avirag have already said. Our strategy is to focus on our core IT services businesses. Our recent acquisition of IBIS and the acquisition for Computeris is in line with this strategy. We are expanding our offerings with mobility and analytics for our existing and our future customers. We will invest in R&D along with building specific industry competencies to deliver enhanced business value to our customers. Further, we are continuing to invest in sales and marketing activities. That brings us to the end of our presentation today, and we'll hand you back to the organizers for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Mohan Krishna Swami. He is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congrats on a good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. There is a lot of debate in the industry about the impact of digital revenues and cloud on the core IT business, particularly on the enterprise side. Now, how are we positioning our businesses to face the revenue loss which many companies are fearing?
Yeah, Mr. Mohan, this is Aviraj, and maybe I can address this question. You know, cloud is definitely important facet for any IT company today, and some of the areas that we are working on cloud right now in Microsoft Azure and Salesforce. And you rightly pointed out, you know, there is ERP companies who are working on ERP space. The cloud is going to impact their business because, you know, some of the projects which were $1 million or bigger, actually project will become smaller by cloud, you know, cloud offering. If you look at our ERP business, we are doing Microsoft Dynamics or Infor, and these are actually in the SME segment. The project values on these are like from 200 to 400, 500K. And there we don't, and both of them are actually already ready to offer on the cloud. So we don't see much decline. There will be some decline on these in terms of, you know, maybe the revenue, but service revenue will go up. Okay. So for us, we don't see that as a major impact. And Microsoft already has started offering Dynamics on cloud, and that is going to maybe further expand our base in different geographies. Right now, we are mainly focused in Southeast Asia, but with that, we can focus on other geography as well.
And how are we addressing the digital side? Because there seems to be faster happening in digital revenue.
I'm not clear about your question. Can you little elaborate on that?
Yeah. How are we addressing the opportunity of higher growth in the digital side? Because most companies are making acquisitions and positioning themselves to address that market.
Yeah. So in digital space, you know, there are two things. One is analytics, second is IoT. As we have, I already, you know, said initially, we are building a lot of capabilities in analytics space. We are talking to many of our clients to cross-sell and upsell analytics. And further, we are also, you know, creating skills in IoT. These two will, I think, help us in the digital space.
So what portion of our business currently must be from this new range of services? The digital.
You see, right now there is one area which we actually are doing a lot of work in the speech analytics space, and ma'am, we may be doing $1 million about on that, maybe 1.5 million of speech, and total digital and mobility and this kind should be around 4 to 5.
Yeah.
So on the speech side, we may be about 1.5, and total, which include IoT, mobility, and speech put together, maybe about 3.5 to 4 million right now.
And secondly, on the recent transaction which has happened, I mean, if can you put the facts on place as to what was the consideration? Some of it obviously is deferred, which we have contracted that business be sold. And what is the recurring income which could come from any kind of future flows from the future owner?
Yes, Mr. Swami, we have already reported in our financial results. We have there was a you know, has been a strategy to divest the product business and focus on the core IT services business. In pursuance of that stated policy, we have divested the Indus business effective 7th July last month. So the consideration is close to around 85 crore rupees. Out of that 85 crore rupees, we have already received 45 crore rupees at the time of closing of the transaction.
Okay.
Apart from that, we will be receiving close to 6.5 crore
in March. It is based on some criteria, but we are already on track for that criteria. So we will be receiving that in March of 16. After that, we will be receiving 9 crore of debenture every year. The first installment will start from July next year. So we'll receive close to 36 crores in next 4 years, and this carries an interest of 8% per annum. So that is the deal. So it's an 85 crore deal, but whatever deferred payment is, that is subject to 8% interest.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's it for the time being.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one if you would like to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Tripathi. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so again, talking about this deal that you've just finished, so we saw that the last quarter you've reported the revenues as 25 crores as the top line. Now, I think that's the highest in the history for Indus. And I think, Nand, what is the EBITDA number for that, for the 25 crores?
The EBITDA would be close to maybe around 3.75 crore rupees, around 4 crore rupees.
Yeah, so the EBITDA is probably higher than your average EBITDA, right? Because you have reported for the whole quarter 14-something percent for the across EBITDA. So you're selling a business which is, I mean, yes, we've been saying that it's seasonal. But last 2 years, I've seen every quarter on quarter almost that business has been growing. And from being quarterly 12, 13, 14 crores at one point or 15 crores, now it has ended up at 25 crores in the quarter that you've ended up selling. So what was such a dire need to sell that business at any kind of price? And that is also not a full cash transaction. You sold half for cash. The rest is a loan. And based on, so I'm just wondering, what was this absolute urgency to sell that business?
Bhavuk, we have been working on this transaction for almost a year now. And, we have publicly stated in investor call as well that there is a plan to divest the product business, so that we focus on the core services business. I agree with you, last few quarters had been good. But you see, as you know...
If you say seasonal, if you're saying seasonal, then 4 quarters covers all the seasons. You can't say seasonal beyond 4 quarters. It is not a iron and steel manufacturing, or it's not a cyclical business which takes 10 years to show the seasonality. If for the last 4 quarters, it has been continuously growing, and it has grown to 25 crores for this quarter, then there was no binding agreement that you had to sell it at that price. So if the price that was approved by shareholders 7 months ago or 8 months ago was based on the performance in those quarters, now you as a management have to take a call on what was the performance of the latest quarter. And I mean, that is, unless you have to either tell us as shareholders that there was something imminently wrong with that business and it was going to stop from next year or something, that we had to sell it off. So that means we're talking of a revenue of 100 crores. You have sold at 0.85x, and that 0.85x also 50% paid now, and the rest paid over the next 4 years. So that is generally a very poor valuation. So I think you have to justify that valuation by, in terms of that, either that it was a flawed business or it was something which was going to stop tomorrow and we had to somehow get rid of it immediately, or there was some looming liability that we had to get. So I'm a bit confused that when we are buying businesses, there is a different yardstick criteria, and the valuation in the market business also has been high. It has been at a good level of EBITDA multiples. So I need to understand this better, that once the improved financials were kicking in, that why that was not taken into consideration while selling off that business.
Bhavuk, I'll answer your question in several parts, as your questions are.
First of all, the shareholder approval was for 78 crore rupees and the business is sold for north of 85 crore rupees. So the business is sold at a higher valuation than what shareholder approved, which is a positive point. Secondly, you have been associated with us for last 5, 6, 7 years. You know that, 2 years before, the Indus was kind of a break-even or in a situation. I tell you, Bhau, based on our experiences, a business can be sold only when it is performing good. If the business is not performing good, it's very hard to sell. Okay, and it has been our stated policy to kind of divest the product business. Having said that, you noticed in last, 6 months, we have done a services business acquisition of EBIT. We have done those small acquisition in Europe, though its agreement is signed, acquisition will close in next 60 days or so. So in line with our stated policy, we are focusing on services business. So that was as a result of a policy. And you see, when you have to sell, you have to sell. I mean, though there was no desperation and all that, we feel that the valuation we have got is reasonable.
And Bhavuk, you know that trying to do a services business along with a product business is apples and oranges. So that was a little bit of a problem. I know the last few quarters the business started doing well, but still to have it as an ongoing process for a long, long, many more quarters was considered to be something doubtful. So
no,
I think Rikita, it worked out
the
well.
Thing is, I appreciate what you're saying, but look, in 2009, the whole company made a loss. Okay, across the board we made a loss. Now, does that mean that when it starts doing well, we'll sell everything off? I mean, we have every company, ECNet has been struggling for so long. But we've been nurturing. The point is that the point he mentioned about 78 crores was the approval, we sold at 85. But when we approved 78 crores, the sales were 16 or 17 crores quarterly. Now, from that, if it has gone to 25, that means almost a 40-50% jump. So then did the valuation accordingly go up by 40? Anyway, you know the business better, all of you, and I must congratulate you that you people have been growing the business through various cycles, and I have full faith that there must be. But just by numbers, if I don't look at it qualitatively, which you are talking about product and, concentrating on that, so I hope I am wrong. I hope that by testing that business, like by divesting, so we were hoping that operating margins will go through the roof because that was a low margin business. Now, at the same time, now Indus, you have divested. As a shareholder, we have total trust in the management. We are saying, okay, you've done the right thing. But on numbers, on the face of it, it looks like the business was sold for a lower valuation. And especially when that money is being paid out to me as a dividend with a 15% dividend tax. So the effective 85 crore sale gets translated to 70 crores. But again, like I said, the business has been delivering, you people have been growing, and I have full faith that your team will, but that is, then we should now take it up as a very strong, that in our core business of services, and let's say we are talking of analytics and cloud and IoT and digitization, I think then we should make some very strong moves that justify then concentrating on this business and get a track where the growth rates are higher. So I don't want to make this point, but I feel that the valuation which we, gave away Indus at some valuation, better. I have seen the company from 2007. There have been years of sudden growth, sudden fall in revenue from all sides. Like suddenly you lost business in Salt Lake last quarter. Now, Cento, suddenly you had to write off the entire thing in 2009. So there have been a lot of shocks in the business and they happen. But last couple of years, Indus has been growing steadily. And so I want to make a very strong observation that as a financial valuation, it seems to have been sold at 0.8 or 0.75, 0.8 times revenues, which again, I'm taking half the value. So I will not repeat that further. Anyway, I have a couple of other questions. So now that we have sold Indus, geographically, can you tell me, will we now have zero sales in India? Would that be a correct statement?
There will be small sale. You see, the acquisition of Ibij has small operations. So there will be maybe, presently we are around 8% in India. Maybe we'll reduce to around 1.5-2%. There is Ibij is also having an office in Chennai and do, you know, that ERP business in based out of India. They have 8-10 customers in India. So the 1-2% will be the India business.
So now it appears that as a geography, U.S. will become what? Of the reduced turnover, that U.S. business will become probably what, 60%, 65%?
I did a rough working, it will be around 66 to 68% somewhere in between.
Would be U.S.
Yeah.
Right? And on, EBITDA levels, have you now calculated of the standalone company, which is in India, basically now the Noida operations? The standalone EBITDA is what at that location?
See, standalone EBITDA of India is quite healthy, as you know. In fact, Noida IT and Noida BPO, both are in the range of close to 22%, 21-22%. So with the exit of Indus, the standalone EBITDA will be close to, I would say, around 21-22%.
So the lower EBITDA comes either from the U.S. operations or Computerris or Singapore?
Yeah, these on-site businesses, as you know, are not that, you know, they are lower EBITDA in that. So it gets kind of adjusted in higher EBITDA of India operations.
So at this point, the U.S. dollar appreciation, okay, so will have a much more direct impact as far as the business is concerned, because now your Noida operations will become what portion of the total business?
The Noida is close to 33 million and it will become, presently it was close to 30%, will become maybe now 35-36%.
Okay. So I think the impact of dollar, Noida also has Europe business, right? A lot of Europe business.
It's close to around 5 to 6 million business is Europe business, that's right.
So that is in euros that we are talking about.
That's right.
Any other news on that Salt Lake City client that you lost?
I think we are still trying, but, you know, as of now, we do not have a very good news for that. So that
okay. Now, the real estate that you had in Pune, I from what I could read, or this is not part of the deal that you have sold. So real estate is still owned by the company?
Yes, that is still owned by the company. We will be getting, we have given them option to continue for 3 years. We will be getting rental for that.
So let's say now you will be getting on the 40 crores that is remaining to be paid. You'll be getting 8% per annum return on that, right?
That's right.
So, and you'll be getting a rental on that building.
That's right.
So, the Indus operation will contribute to you approximately 4 crores in EBITDA or in revenues, probably, which is like operating income of sorts, because you have interest and you'll have this.
Yeah, you are right, Bhavuk. Let's assume on a 36 crore debenture, so on 8%, around 3 crore would be like interest element in that. In addition, there will be rental element. So yeah, close to 4 crore, yes, you can approximate, yes.
Okay. And this real estate, has it been given to them on a long-term lease now, or what kind of agreement do you have?
The present lease is 3 years, which is subject to, you know, renew and all that. The present term is 3 years.
And is there then at the end of 3 years, it will be reviewed, the rentals and whatever?
Which negotiation then would be that.
Okay, and now you add, I think Avirag was mentioning you added 7 new clients or 3 new clients, I don't remember the exact number. But what about any more losses in the quarter?
None of the units
haven't lost here.
Yeah, we have not lost a major customer, Salt Lake customer, that BPO customer we lost in last quarter. So this quarter had been reasonably good.
Okay, so I think as far as the additional customers that you've added, so can we, because I think there'll be a huge loss in revenue this current quarter, given that 25 crores will be gone straight from last quarter, the top line. So it will be a stark, you know, almost probably 20% or so of 18% of the revenue will be lower in the coming quarter. So I think we'll have to make it up from organic or inorganic, whatever strategy you employ. But you were mentioning, Avirag, something about IoT. So,
yeah.
That you're doing some work in IoT. What is the kind of work you're doing at this point?
One actually we did for a client who is in retail space in US, where they will put this, you know, beacons in different stores, and you know, where a customer who walks in, beacon will be able to, you know, track a customer's cell phone, and then store through this software can communicate to the customer, you know, to sell new product or send some coupons where he can buy some stuff, things like that. Second is this for a this, you know, automobile manufacturing company, we are doing the test with, where the software will be able to communicate with the vehicle and, you know, do the test on a connected vehicle state. These are two major things that we have done so far, and there are other POC, you know, that we are doing.
So in this ERP business that you have, that is IBIS and the ECNet, both I think I4 you mentioned and Microsoft Dynamics.
Infor, yeah.
Now, yeah, so Infor and this, yeah. So now what about developing an IoT on top of that? So let's say in the factories or in production facilities where you're implementing these ERP things. Now, what about having a team that develops further that those machines can talk? Because there is a lot of talk of IoT in manufacturing now, that where within a factory, all the machines or multiple factory locations, the machines are talking to each other so that they know when what one thing is being dispatched and all that data is being captured. So that is something, given that you have a strength in that vertical in manufacturing and ERP related, so a lot of companies are scrambling in that direction, that you develop an IoT on top of that, which you have ERP, which basically gives you the enterprise resource planning. And on top of it, then you have something, all the machines are talking to each other. So is that something which you think is feasible, or is it something because that requires huge budgets or huge product development?
That is a good idea, Bhavok, I must say. You know, just to give you a little background, IBIS actually has, apart from what they're selling, the Microsoft Dynamics ERP, they have two more framework on top. One is a mobile space, second is ML. You know, BI or analytics, which is they're using ClickView. In mobile space, they have actually product which does it, which does not do automatically, but there are a lot of things which like barcode scanning on items and all those. It part they have done, but we may have to further explore and see if we can build further on it.
Yeah, where each machine in the either assembly or you know, production or machining or wherever, is then all the data from there which is being captured, so that the factory becomes a smart factory, paperless smart factory, and all the machines talk to each other. So since you already have relationships in that, that's something I think I will send you a couple of mails, and you and Mr. Reiki, and you can take a look at it and see if something is feasible there. But otherwise, I think despite losing Cento business, it's been a good quarter in that terms. And now with the further appreciation of the dollar in this quarter, at this point, now again, this may not last very long, and this is just something. But I suppose we should capitalize and try and grow in these all these areas. And congratulations to the whole team. And hopefully, once we get over the bump of losing this in this business, the revenues and profits can be ramped up again. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you would like to ask a question. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Mohan Krishna Swami, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to find out how our ESOP schemes are structured, on what basis. I mean, how are they given to the employees? Now, I just wanted to make a point that recently, I attended Hexaware's meeting, and they have launched a huge ESOP program, which is totally driven on milestone performance for employees on a 3 to 5 year scale, and it has got nothing to do with tenure of performance. So, how is our ESOP scheme structured?
Mr. Swami, first of all, the existing ESOP scheme are almost over. There is only 200,000 shares left in that, which is not even 0.2% of the share capital. We are thinking of having an ESOP scheme, and it's a good idea you are giving. So as of now, we will mull over it and see, but I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, because this company is owned by a private equity firm, you may be aware, and they clearly have a time-bound performance. This is the first time I saw that it's totally performance-driven. It has no tenure-based vesting. And it's not short-term performance. It's 3 to 5 year kind of performance for about 200 employees. So I thought it was interesting. That's the point I wanted to highlight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, and thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions for the management. So I think while you did mention that, the loss of or the termination of contract with one BPO customer had impacted the business, but if I'm not wrong, I observed that, the number of $1 million-plus customers have come down quite significantly from, I think, the reported number last time was around 26. And this time you mentioned that we have 17 million-plus customers. So just wanted to understand, why that kind of a decline.
Yeah, Ashish, first of all, we had around 4 customers from Indus. So we have not this time, though results are included, but we have not included them. And also this BPO customer also we have kind of lost. Also, what happens in Ashish, there are 2 kind of customers. One are the recurring customers, which are normally in OPD business, and one are fixed price customer, like in Computares and in other businesses. So, when we get the contract for 1 or 2 years, they continue to give us $1 million, but once the project is completed, then they get out of that. So this is the impact of that, but we are quite hopeful that in quarters to come with this acquisition and with the ramp up in the existing customer, we should be able to cover it up soon.
Okay. So if you could just share a data point of what number of these current $1 million-plus accounts would be recurring in nature for us, where we would have a fair amount of visibility?
Out of 17, I would say close to maybe 3 would be like 14 would be kind of recurring customers coming from OPD businesses, and 3 would be like project based where they kind of keep on churning, some adds, some gets off.
Okay, that's helpful. And secondly, just around the strategy, so you have been in the process of trying to do away with some of these non-core businesses. Now, at current point of time, as you see your portfolio, do you think you've seen the back of all of the ones that you wouldn't want to be a part of, or there could still be some chipping and chopping of a few segments that you may want to discontinue?
See, as of now, the OPD is a core business. Noida is OPD, and US consulting and project business is kind of part of OPD business. In fact, computer is also to some extent is part of OPD, though there is some kind of a seasonality in that also. The other element we have is like the BPO business and Singapore business where we have supply chain business. So as of now, there is no immediate plan, but if some good opportunity comes and we feel that that's non-core, we can consider.
Sure. Actually, the reason for asking that question was really, the discord between the OPD and the BPO business. I mean, usually, the two are not necessarily, very correlated in terms of deal wins and integrated nature of offerings, etc. So I just wanted to know if the management has any thoughts around maybe BPO being non-core maybe something that you may not want to continue, or do you think that is a key strategic component of your offering, at least the way you see it in the foreseeable future?
See, our BPO is complementary to IT. I tell you how it started. In fact, the first BPO customer we got was an existing IT customer who wanted end-to-end services. And that's how we, kind of started BPO business. So So we feel that the BPO business, which is out of Noida, is part and parcel of our IT strategy only. And you see this US business BPO, after the loss of that customer, is very, very minimal. So this Noida is kind of part. So as of now, we consider it as part and parcel of OPD business.
Sure. So would it be possible to share some color on how the services mix for you stands as of now across OPD, BPO? You mentioned ERP after the latest acquisition of IBIS, and then you also mentioned a couple of testing contracts in your opening remarks. So just how would your revenues currently be spread across these services?
See, the OPD business or the IPLM business, what we call it is, this is Noida and Computares and this consulting business. In consulting business also, there is some project business and some consulting business. We call it as kind of IPLM business, which constitute the majority kind of business as of now, approximately 65 to 70% of the business. Okay, and then this BPO constitute as of now on a run rate basis close to 9% of business. And the Singapore business, the ERP and Ethernet business put together would constitute close to around 20% as of now. That's a broad breakup.
Okay, and the next question was actually around margins. So you did mention that there'll be a 25 crore impact on the top line after the sale of Indus, but on the consolidated basis, how much does that move the margins by?
I think the percentage of margin is there's not going to be a negative impact. It will have a positive impact only in times to come. And, but this is again related to dollar rupee depreciation also, which is working in our favor. In fact, today, as you know, yesterday and today, there has been 1 rupee fall in the dollar rupee exchange rate. So this is one which will also help us. And then another important point with us is the utilization. This quarter utilization has not been that great. It's 2% or little more than 2% lesser compared to last quarter. So all these, but overall I am quite positive about the EBITDA percentage. Like last year was 13.9%. I'm quite hopeful of kind of beating these EBITDA percentage numbers on a yearly basis.
Okay. And just the last couple of months from my side. So just wanted to get a sense of the plan for capital expenditure for the current year. Usually, what is the capex intensity like in the business?
See, the OPD business is mainly, in fact, now only done out of our Noida office, where we have close to 1,200 seats. And we have close to 100 seats kind of as of now not fully occupied. So, see, the usual capital expenditure replacement of computers and networking and all that things will keep on happening. And it's not going to be very significant. Just to give an example, for this year, the capex expenditure is close to 3 crore rupees. But, we are not going to, as of now, we have spare around 100 seats spare capacity. But, with for a future growth, then we'll have to kind of do that. But I think for next 1 or 2 quarters, we are sufficiently equipped.
Okay. And lastly, just wanted to understand the breakup of your people overall in the overall mix as to what will be the strength of your sales team at the moment, and also if you classify, some of the solution or domain experts separately, if you could share that number as well.
Yes. The sales team across the globe, like for OPD business, the front-end salespeople sit in U.S., we have close to 20 salespeople there, and to support them, around 40 to 45, salespeople sit in Noida, those who work on the night shift basis. So that gives us a cost advantage. So this is for OPD business. Computeris has its own sales force, close to 10 people who are selling out of Europe. Singapore has its own sales force, where there are close to, I think, between EBS and ECNET put together, close to 20 people. So the sales team is quite widely spread, and based on the requirement of the business, they are stationed.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Bhavik Tripathi. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Nand, what is the tax implication of this Indus sale? I mean, how much is the tax, and have you, when will that be accounted for? So the gains and the tax, when will all that be accounted for?
Bhavuk, the deal got concluded on July 7th, so it will come in previous year 15-16. So, but you know, we have to pay some advance tax and all that. But this will be like the return for this is actually due next year.
Yeah, but what is the gain on it? What is the capital gain on?
Broad working, we are still doing, but it will be close to 10 crore rupees approximate.
The tax or the gain?
The capital gain would be close to around 50 crore rupees on this, 50 crore, and 20% is the tax, so a ballpark number is 10 crore rupees.
So you will be reporting in this quarter the entire capital gains?
Bhavuk, this will be a capital, see what will happen is that it's not going to impact our, because that's a capital gain, so it will get adjusted in the cost.
Cost of?
I mean to say, the whatever revenue, whatever profit we will get in this business, for the sale of this business, let's assume, just theoretical, this may not be actual number. Supposing the profit on the sale is 50 crore rupees, so 10 will be the tax, so 40 crore will be the gain on this transaction.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying, but you'll have to report that, right? So in this coming quarter, it'll not be, I understand there's no cash coming out of it, but I'm saying that you have a, it'll be part of a profit. It'll be other income or it'll be capital gains.
Yeah, it will be reported in Q3.
In Q3, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll be showing us that one-time income or special income or whatever of 40 or 50.